Dan. And that really ties in exactly with what I felt the Lord laying on my heart to share this morning. And I am aware of the time, but understand, you know, I preached in a church in Africa last Sunday and got away with an hour at least, you know, so that's kind of the mode I'm in right now. No, I'm kidding. But I just have something short I wanted to share this morning that the Lord laid on my heart because, you know, we're the team probably still suffering from jet lag and probably still a little trying to find our land legs here. And as you heard from Nicole, we've all had colds and, you know, haven't been sleeping well. But God has been good to us. And there's so much that we need to process. There's so much we need to go through and think about. And there's so many experiences that we had that so often we have to say, Lord, just remind me of these things. Cam sharing that story of Pa Lucas reminded me of that because that was kind of day one and it kind of got lost on it. But as I was thinking about this mission trip, I think exactly what Dan shared is what was on my heart. Well, what about us? What about those that weren't able to go to Cameroon? What about the rest of us? How does this impact us? Where do we go from here? Does this mean anything? Or was it just a mission trip that kind of came and went and that was it? You know, we can take the pictures and maybe print out a few pictures and put it up on the board. No, I believe that it has a significant impact on us, on everyone at Grace Point. And we need to look at that and say, well, how does this affect me? How does it affect my life? We're the sending church, but we're also the church that God is doing a mission work in at the same time. And so God does that. As we step out in faith, He pours into us. And so I want to challenge you today to say, well, how does it affect you personally, this team, and hearing their testimonies? Jesus, speaking to His disciples in the Mount of Olives, His disciples came to Him and started asking Him questions about, well, when is the end times? When is the judgment coming? And I want to share this morning briefly from Matthew chapter 24, and verse 3 to 14, if you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to turn to that. Matthew 24, verse 3 to 14. And this is a passage, again, that is fairly well known, but has incredible implications for us today. Let's read together, starting at verse 3. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am the Messiah,' and will deceive many. But you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of the birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come." You know, when I left for Cameroon, I had a specific prayer request that I asked the Lord. I said, "Lord, give me a love for the people that I encounter. Give me your heart for the nation." You know, because it's very easy to just get into the travel mode, you know, when you get into an airport and just everybody just is in my way. There's too many crowds. And honestly, the flight that we had from Brussels to Douala was a nightmare. Screaming babies and people who just had absolutely no... American sense for standing in line. It was just a massive stampede of people, and it became very hard to be patient. And I was reminded every time the Lord said, "You asked me to give you a love for these people. You asked me to love these people." And I started thinking that way. And I said, you know, everybody I meet, everybody that we see is somebody that Jesus died for. What makes me any different? Jesus died for them. Jesus died for me. And that changed my attitude. God answered that prayer. I had some encounters I wanted to share with you, and I'm going to just share one. Because there was one that was very unpleasant, and the Lord protected us, and then there was one where we were out in the marketplace sharing and just sharing the gospel, and everybody there that you encounter would say, "Yes, I know Jesus. Yes, I'm a believer." And then you say to them, "Well, are you born again?" And that's kind of a definitive question in Cameroon. They know what it means to be born again if they are born again. And they said, "Yes, yes." And so I said, "Well, so you know the gospel?" And they said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, do you know the gospel message?" And they said, "Not really. What's the gospel?" And so Debbie and I think Christy and Joshua were with us. And pretty soon about four or five guys came together, market owners, different stall owners came together. And I was able to share the gospel, starting at creation and going through to Jesus coming again, how God sent his only son. And it was not new for them, but hearing it afresh, I believe, was impactful. And we were able to pray for them. And then we were able to say to them, "Well, now you know the gospel, now share it with someone else and tell someone else about it." And I was amazed how much love God gave me for these businessmen, these marketplace men. And just about, you know, all of them were, 5 minutes later, were haggling to the death about prices on something that they didn't want to sell too cheaply. But they loved Jesus, and they heard the gospel. And there was another experience with VBS that I think one of the pictures showed it. And it was an unusual time because we were sharing with these children, but there was no spark. They just weren't responding, and we weren't quite sure. I know Emily was struggling. She wanted to have them really engaging, but they weren't. And this one little girl caught my eye, and I just knelt in front of her to hear what she was saying, and suddenly all the kids came around me, and I was just overwhelmed. I said, "That's what they needed. I needed to get down to their level." And they just wanted a father. They were desperate for a father to tell them the stories. And it just broke my heart because they don't have an adult that would sit down with them and tell them stories. And I shared the gospel with them. I shared about Jesus. And then I led them all in a prayer of salvation. And they all prayed together out loud. And it was a sweet time. But God, I just felt the presence of God over that. And it was just an incredible time. And God gave me such a love for these children where I'm the organizer, I'm the planner, I'm the guy behind the scenes and kind of making things happen. I you know, children, I don't have time. But God really moved in that time. It was powerful. But you know, in Cameroon, we experience chaos. We experience poverty. We experience brokenness. It's a very hard life. The people that live in Cameroon work very, very long hours just to put a bit of rice and beans on the table. As Emily shared, their houses, many of them are just shacks. And it's incredibly hard to live there. Disease is everywhere. Typhoid is everywhere. Malaria is everywhere. And everybody has either recovered from it or has it, one of those sicknesses. And the truth is, we look at the world, and the world is not getting any better. You know, we think, well, if we educate everybody, if we train everybody, and if we do everything in our power to uplift the standard of living of everybody, things will get better. But the fact of the matter is, evil is on the rise. Evil is on the increase everywhere we look. Just in the last week, I don't know if you've paid attention to the news reports, but there was the attack in Istanbul as we were coming back. And then there was the attack in Bangladesh where the hostages were killed. there was an attack in Serbia. And then just this morning, another car bomb went off in Baghdad, killing 78 people. Just in 1 week, 4 terror acts, and probably more that we didn't hear about. Evil is on the rise. And it can allow us to fear and to get anxious and to say, Lord, where are you? What are you doing? Why is this happening? And as we looked at the chaos in Cameroon, and we looked at the driving, which was insane, and just trying to get from one part of the town to the other, we're saying all of these people just trying to make ends meet, but there's this feeling of hopelessness, a feeling of hopelessness all around. And as we look at our reading today, Jesus spoke exactly to this. And I believe Jesus is speaking to a time such as ours right now. In verse 12, Jesus says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. The increase of wickedness affects us all. It affects every one of us. If it happens in Serbia, it happens in Baghdad, if it happens in Istanbul, it affects us. We may not have an immediate reaction, but we have this anxiety that builds up inside of us as well. It affects us when other human beings are suffering. And it affects us in our own country when we see terror acts and violence. And it's easy to become anxious. It's easy to fear. And Jesus warns, the love of most will grow cold. Not the love of some, the love of most. That's scary to me. When I hear that, I say, Lord, I never want my love to grow cold for you. And we got to look around and we say, well, if our grounding is not in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if our grounding is not in Him as our own Lord and Savior, then we will fear. We will become anxious and our love will grow cold. If church for us is merely a gathering, a social club where we gather together because that's what we've always done, that's where our friends are, when things happen and we're not grounded in Jesus Christ, we will fall. And it is important that we know every day that we give every single aspect of our lives over to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, not holding anything back, because it's only by giving Him every aspect of our lives can we be assured to stand firm in these times of trouble, these times of wickedness and evil. Verse 13 says, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. I want to be one of those. I want to stand firm. I want to stand firm for the gospel no matter what happens, because there is only one hope, and that is in Jesus Christ. Not given to discouragement, because that's what happens when things, we're constantly hearing bad news. What happens? We become discouraged. And the commissioning that God gave to Joshua in Joshua 1 verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? And that's great, we hear that. Be strong and courageous, pick up your sword, fight, be a warrior. And young men love that part of the verse, it's powerful. But then God goes on to say, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. So why would God give Joshua all these promises of victory and the land and the promised land and said, but don't be discouraged? Because God knows, and God knew in Joshua's life, that there would be days of discouragement. There'd be days of anxiety, days of fear. We are prone to discouragement. We look around the world, and it's easy to become discouraged. It's easy to grow fearful. But the promise that God gave to Joshua is the same promise that Jesus gave to us in Matthew 28 when He gave the Great Commission. God said to Joshua, I am with you wherever you go. And then Jesus said in Matthew 28, I will be with you until the very end of the age. If Jesus is going to be with us, He is with us. We don't have to be discouraged. We can fight off being discouraged. It is a promise from God that applies to us. And then Jesus goes on in verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. The whole world. That's the Great Commission again. Go out and share the gospel to all nations. Now, all nations doesn't mean, well, Cameroon, we went and shared the gospel in Cameroon, so that's reached now, right? Okay, let's pick another country. No, these are ethnic groups. These are people groups. In Cameroon, there are 278 different people groups. It is a country, we think America is a melting pot. Cameroon has so many different dialects, so many different influences. They were first ruled by the Germans, then the French, then the English, then went back to the French. They have 10 different provinces, 10 of them, 8 of them are French-speaking and 2 are English-speaking. And they have thousands of other dialects there. Not every one of those 278 people groups, have heard about Jesus Christ. There are unreached people groups in Cameroon who've never heard the gospel message, never heard the name of Jesus. And so we think, well, that's Africa. That's the jungles of Africa. That's kind of, you know, we accept that. Well, here in Kansas City, there are people that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Right here in Kansas City, there are people that do not know the name of Jesus. That is our mission field. It may come as a surprise to you, but the fact of the matter is that the job is not yet done. We came back from Cameroon, and it's, by all accounts, mission successful, mission accomplished. No, the job is not done. The mission is not completed. When did Jesus say the mission would be completed? When everybody knows. And then he will come back again. He will say the job's done. Jesus is going to announce himself, it is finished. The job is done. And I'm looking forward to that day. This afternoon, we have a mission team coming in from Adventures in Missions, and they're coming from Cincinnati. They're going to be coming and sharing in our community, sharing the gospel, visiting families, working in different ministries. Tomorrow afternoon, we have the 4th of July celebration where, Lord willing, we'd have hundreds of people here, and we get the opportunity to share the gospel with our neighbors, with our community. That's part of the mission. We get to do that tomorrow. In 2 weeks' time, we'll be holding our annual VBS. Lord willing, we'll have many children come, and we'd be able to share the gospel with those children. Again, that's the next generation that can impact a nation. And we get the opportunity to do that. But for us as a church on mission, as a church that's constantly looking to say, Lord, what do you want us to do? What would you have us do today, tomorrow, the next day? It's not about programs. It's not about mission teams going to Cameroon. It's not about mission teams coming here. It's not about a VBS. It's not about the 4th of July outreach. Those, yes, but it's about us individually. As Dan was sharing about meeting that young lady in Costco, or was it Sam's Club, and that's being on mission. Meeting someone, meeting your neighbor, meeting your friends, meeting someone that you've never met before in the store and saying, Lord, what would you have me do today? We need to have the mindset of, well, no, the mission team is done. No, the mindset needs to be, I am on mission every day. I am out there every day as a representative, as an ambassador for Christ, with the gospel message, daily asking the Lord to bring people in touch with us that we could share the gospel with them. Because that's a great prayer to pray every day, and God honors that prayer when you say, Lord, I'm here. Who do you want me to encounter today with the gospel message? Pray that prayer every day. God will not disappoint you. And you'll see so many miracles taking place in your life, of lives transformed, people coming to know God. What a privilege we have. What a privilege we have. It's not a chore. It's a privilege to be part of the mission of God. God could have used anyone, but he chose you and me, broken people. And I'm including myself in that. We're all broken people. We're all weak and feeble, prone to anxiety, prone to fears. And God says, I'm going to use you to be my spokesman, to be my ambassadors. What a privilege. The creator of the universe knows that he can use us. Our goal should be one thing, that Jesus shared when he told the parable of the three servants. And when Jesus came back, or the master came back in Matthew 25, he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what our goal should be, to live every day so that we can hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Not to be given to fear, not to be given to anxiety. May we be people that do not grow cold because we hear rumors of wars all around and say, "Oh, God has lost control." No, he is in control. And he's working out all things so that Jesus can come back one day. Let us pray together. Lord, yes, it is such a privilege to be used by you, to be your hands and feet. And Lord, I ask you today that you would fill us with a zeal, a desire to be used by you in a greater capacity. Lord, as we go through this summer of missions with many activities and things, it's easy to look and say, well, we're doing a lot. But Lord, I pray that you would convict each of us, including myself, individually on a daily basis to be used by you, to share the gospel message with those that we encounter, with our neighbors, with our co-workers, with the people that we meet in the stores. So Lord, we ask you to use us this week as your hands and feet. And we pray your blessing over us here at Grace Point, Lord. We pray for this week ahead. Lord, as the mission team from Cincinnati is on the road and on their way here, we pray that you would protect them as they travel. But we pray, Lord, that they would be used mightily by you. There would be a fruitful mission trip, Lord. We pray for Joe and his leadership, and Cam and Andrew and Emily and others who are going to be helping. And we ask you, Lord, to bless them with wisdom and strength. Use us, Lord, we pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand and sing with us our final hymn?